Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk. Trying to get a little surf music here going too. And I think I've already got. Do we have Dave Sparky Saganaki on with us immediately? No, man. Come on. I don't know why it doesn't seem to work. Dave, are you with us now? No, he's not. Of course not. Of course he's not with us. I don't know what's going on. I can never quite figure out these boards these days. I don't know why this is always a problem for us, but it seems to be. Maybe we can try this again in a minute or two. Dave, I'm gonna keep pushing buttons when you keep saying stuff, and we'll see if we get you on. We've got a great show. Aside from all of the, technical issues that we always wind up having and having a great time with, we're going to have on David Chen. He's the CEO of Strikingly.com, which is a DIY, easy-to-use setup for creating an online resume, an online website, all sorts of very cool stuff. He's going to talk about that. We're going to have a great time working on it. He's promised that he's going to take me to town and just beat me silly on how mine looks that I've got on there. Actually, no, he was very kind. He said it looks good on a first glance, but I think he's going to tell me some things that I could add to it and things that we can change, so you'll get a good sense for what it's all about. We also, too, of course, are going to have our good friend Jay Garman on in just a little bit, talking some geek trivia, all that good stuff. Hey, I am going to do something a little goofy here. Dave, if you can hear me, I am going to try and take you out of the loop, and I'm going to call you back. We're using a different computer, so hopefully we'll have our good friend Dave Sparky Saganaki on with us in just a minute too. I apologize. Actually, Dave, if you can hear me, I'm going to hang up on you. Try calling me back here. We'll let you do it that way. We'll bring you in the other direction. Thank you, sir. He just did. So there's been a lot of stuff going on, too, of course, in the news lately, the last couple days. One thing that I just ran across this morning, I wanted to ask Dave about this, I don't have a whole lot of information about it, was finding out that it seems that there's a new Facebook app out. And like I said, I don't have a ton of information about this. I should before I start talking about stuff. But, you know, not knowing something has never stopped me from talking before. I don't see any reason why I should let it start now. There's a new Facebook app that it promises to look at your close friends. And, oh, here we go. Now I think we got them.
Do you?
Oh, my gosh. It worked. I knew it. I knew it would work eventually. I was just sharing with people. I wanted to get your opinion on this because I don't have a lot of information. I don't know if you've run across this. There's a new Facebook app out that will look at your list of friends and compare it to a known list of sex offenders and tell you if there's any matches.
Wow. No, I didn't know that. And I personally don't, well, maybe I don't want to know, but, you know, but no, that's great for teenagers and kids, young people, but and it's great for anybody. You really shouldn't have known sex offenders for, you know, that's great. I've never even heard of that. That's fantastic. What's it called?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I do not have a tremendous amount of information here about it. It was actually a broadcast from NBC. Let me pull up. I was hoping you knew about it. This is the problem. I was thinking, oh, Dave is going to be on top of this thing. How wrong I was. Let me bring it up. I've actually got a little link to it here. I'm not going to. I don't know that it would be legal for me to play the audio, and that's unfortunately what I've got here. Oh yeah, yeah. I don't have the information. I will share more information with people through the website. If you go to facebook.com/techtalkwrlr, and also too, you can check us out at bit.ly/techtalkwrlr is probably the easiest address way to get to our blog and podcast site. I'll make sure that links. I'll find this out because this intrigued me. I saw this. This blew me away. I don't know if I like it. I don't know if it's a good thing. There's not necessarily. I mean, how are they confirming this list? There's always been a question about whether we should have these lists published and publicized. There's so much variability in what defines a sex offender, a registered sex offender. And the reason why it so specifically intrigued me is because of the recent situation in Barrington, a nearby suburb here to us, with some teenagers, young teenagers, 14 years old, are now being prosecuted for possession of child pornography. Why? Because they were doing sexting at school. Dumb stuff. Stupid thing to do. Absolutely, they should have some consequences and results from this. But if you're convicted, even at the age of 14, for holding on and transmitting child pornography, you now have to register as a sex offender for the rest of your life. And I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, unfortunately, it's gotten draconian when it comes to child porn. That. Or even the guy, there was a rock and roll newspaper critic in Chicago that reported R. Kelly bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even he had to be very careful about, and I'm not even sure that he did. This is all alleged. This is all rumor. This is all speculation. He came across the video, and then he wants to bring it to the authorities' attention. Even the act of turning in child porn has a legal risk to it.
Yes.
And the app, by the way, that you're looking for, that you want to talk about, is called Friend Verifier.
There it is.
And all you have to do is type that into your bar, into your search bar, into your Facebook page, and then point it at your friend's list, and it uses a national database of sex offenders, the national registry, I guess.
Mm.
And they go through that, and they determine whether your friends are on that list or not.
Wow. I like I said, I don't know if I want. I agree with you. I don't know if I want to know. I may pass on that app.
you want to know if you got a repair. You know, if you got a friend that comes to your house to fix stuff or whatever. You know, it does work at your house. You'd want to know, I guess.
Are you going to be friends with them on Facebook if you don't even? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Well, yeah, no, you got to. You have a good point.
It's a very low threshold. We have lots of very casual friends on Facebook that some we've never even met or don't know very well.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. Well, and I know too that there is a website. Hey, I'm terribly unprepared here this morning, so because I don't have this link, I don't have this link either. I don't have this link either. But I know it exists. It's out there. There's a website too you can go to, and you can find out sex offenders in your neighborhood. You can go and you can look, and because people have to register, it overlays it onto a Google Map type of view, and you can see. Where they are. So you know where your kid is playing. It's like, they're going over in this area. Oh my gosh, there's four sex offenders there. Maybe this is not a good idea. We have an area near where my wife and I live that we refer to fondly or not so fondly as Pedophile Row. That there's... We looked on the map, and there's like a half a dozen registered sex offenders over in these one, townhome area thing. And, of course, there's little places that the kids like to go and play and all this other stuff. So we have to be very, it raises your awareness of it, I guess. The problem, of course, is once you are a registered sex offender, you are not allowed to live within a certain range of a school, of a park. work of you know, all these different things, and so it really minimizes the places that you can live, and you wind up, I think, because of that, with these pockets of you know, a whole bunch of
you can do. I couldn't point people to it now specifically, but there's mapping software, not just sex offenders but felons. You can find out how many felons you have living in your neighborhood, which is a little scary as well, but quite informative, and you know, we'll keep you in the house 24 hours a day.
Yep. So familywatchdog.us has got a list, and it also too has an application where you can map sex offenders in your neighborhood. So those are the places to go, and of course is the Friend View, one that we talked about as well. And boy, for being a tech show, we're spending an awful lot of time talking about.
Can we jump into this rumored purchase app of the Dr. Dre Beats Headphones Corporation?
Yes.
Have you heard about the rumor is $3.2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It actually turned my stomach, this whole thing. At first, I was like, "This is awful," because I thought, "Oh, just more posers with, you know, fancy gear." And there's better headphones out there than Dr. Dre, in my opinion, for a lot less money. And so to me, it was a little like Starbucks. Do you really need to spend $5 for a good cup of coffee? But upon researching it, it makes a lot of sense. They, the younger generation is traditionally harder to market to, and they've captured 64% of that market with their headphones. They really are ubiquitous on young people. Airports, you see, it's like every fourth kid's got one around their neck, and they do look nice. They're very stylish, and they're doing something right. And Apple, when you think about it, the Apple brand has gotten a bit stodgy. iPods are no longer the absolute must-have accessory, and now when you put an iPod with the Dr. Dre headphones, and suddenly it's a big upgrade.
Yep.
In style and fashion for it makes Apple hip and trendy again among the up and coming generation.
Yep. I still find it rather ironic that he's going to be making billions of dollars possibly off of a product called Beats when he was convicted, what was it, 91 or something like this, of beating a woman.
Allegedly convicted. We're not absolutely sure of that. We can't cite a source on that, so allegedly convicted.
It was D. Barnes, and she sued for $22 million for this, something like that. Although he was able to plea bargain that down to a fine, and plus put in 240 hours of community service and 2 years of probation, and he wound up having to do a line of anti-violence public service announcements, if you remember, in the mid-90s, and then. And then he came out with Beats because that's his thing, I guess. I don't know.
So now, but there's a huge irony in all this as well. For HTC, the phone company, was one of the partners with Beats, as was Monster. Monster Cable early on was manufacturing headphones, I guess, and then they were working with HTC. HTC had put in $300 million in Beats.
Yep.
They own 50.1% of the company.
Oh.
And they offloaded it. They've not been doing well. They needed the money. They offloaded they broke up two different portions of their stock or the company, and they sold part of it for a loss, and then they made a modest profit of like $85 million. but now, if they had still held that share, their percentage of the profit from this Apple purchase would be about $1.3 billion.
Oh, boy.
which they could really use to fight against Apple and
Samsung.
Samsung, yeah. they could really use that money right about now.
So yeah.
A tremendous irony, you know, of just, and this has all transpired since 2011.
Yep.
HTC got involved with Beats and Nathan, so.
Man, oh man. Yeah, you know, boy. Yeah, a lot
how
of
would you like to be? How would you like to be the guy pounding on the table that fought for that decision? We got to get rid of Beats now. It's $85 million. Let's do it.
Exactly. Well, and the sad thing is, it's probably the other way around. There was probably some, you know, young exec who was saying, no, keep it. You got to keep it. And the CEO's in there, nah. You guys don't, you're crazy. Get rid of this thing. You know, it's worthless. We shouldn't have bought it in the first place. You know, and he doesn't have any, you know, there's nothing bad happens to him, and the young exec, he probably already got fired because he was already, you know, he was too obnoxious in the meeting telling them they should hold on to it. So,
Well, it'll be interesting as time goes on. I'm sure some of the inner workings of that will surface, and we'll be able to talk about it.
Yeah. Hopefully, I'm very curious to find out, really on the tech side of here, things, you know, what they're going to do with it. The iPod and the iTunes is a music delivery vehicle just hasn't evolved in the same way or at the pace that a lot of the other services have. You know, nobody really pulls up their phone, I don't believe, and goes on to iTunes for streaming in their car, for, you know, listening to a Pandora-style radio. I know they've kind of added a little bit of functionality to it. Now, I'm speaking from ignorance again, which is, you know, I love this to do that. it's very common for me. But because I don't have an iPhone. I do not have an iPhone. I have an iPad, but I don't have an iPhone. All of my stuff is done through my Android phone. I use a lot of different tools and utilities for listening to streaming stuff. I never hear anybody, though, saying, oh yeah, I clicked into iTunes to listen to, you know, radio, whatever. It doesn't seem right.
The desktop app, you know, the iTunes desktop app. I mean, almost all of us have it on our computers, but yeah. Nobody loves it.
No.
You know, it's something you wind, you know, they were the first, they were really the first good databasing application for music, but yeah, and it hasn't really changed that much or advanced that much over the years.
No, and they still default you to that stupid AAC format. I had to burn CD the other day, and I was like, "What AAC? I don't want AAC. If I have it in AAC, then I've just got to convert it to MP3 when I want to use it." You know, come on, get this off of my computer. What am I doing? What am I thinking? Oh man! So you know,
we have changed this show up. We both should get like all Apple products and talk about nothing but Apple products for you.
There you go. That could be our New Year's resolution for 2015. We're going to go all Apple all the time. I'll change the name of the show. We'll call it Apple Talk. see if anybody's taken that one yet. Oh man. And you know what, let me bring Jay in here before we get too further along. Like I said, I'm gonna have David Chen, CEO from Strikingly, on in hopefully in about 5 to 10 minutes here. If he's listening, he'll know.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Garmin. Nice to hear you. We connected cleanly this time and everything too.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Did you sober up yet from the Derby?
Oh, I'm a teetotaler. I'm the narc at the biker rally. I'm always the one watching everybody else have a good time.
Yeah. we call him Double D, designated driver. That's
that's me.
Oh man! But you had fun though. I know you were having people over and all that. Did I guess what we should be asking is, did you make any money? Did your horse come in?
Did not. So we do a full payout random draw. So people don't place individual bets. They just draw a horse out of the pool. And we had about $200 to action, and a lot of folks had a good time. But the only member of my family that did okay is my daughter got the pity pool. Her horse came in dead last, so she got her money back. That's as far as it goes. They brought a lot of people over to my house, and they made money.
Oh man! Yeah, speaking of dead last too, when we were down there, I had to pick a couple of these up. I grabbed a cup that has the historical list, not of the winners, which you can get anywhere. It has the historical list of the dead last finishers throughout history, and I thought that was great. that appealed to my underdog sensibilities for some reason. So,
understandably so.
Oh man, well that's cool though. At least you had fun. It seems like it was a good year for it, weather wise and all of that. Yeah, good stuff. And we had I'm gonna try to move things along fairly quickly here. We do have an interview coming up in a little bit. I don't know if you want to stick around. I wanted to say thanks again for the time down in Louisville. But also too, we're gonna have on the CEO of Strikingly, and he's gonna be hopefully just as brutal as you guys on on the state of my online resume.
It's out of love. It's totally out of love.
Oh, absolutely.
Amusement, but mostly out of love.
Absolutely. No, that's how you can tell your real friends, you know, because people that are just acquaintances or that aren't really there for you, they'll just pat you on the back and say, oh, hey, yeah, looks good, Mike. Looking good. Your real friends will say, oh, my gosh, what the heck were you thinking, buddy? You know, and they'll get in there and make sure you fix it up. So that's absolutely, absolutely true.
We were a little gentler than that, I think. We were, you know.
Yeah, well, you know.
Qualified stuff.
It's just like I tell the kids, you know, you use the sandwich method. You know, it's like, yeah, it looks good, but fix this. And then you end it with, but you'll be fine, you know. Oh, man. Oh.
As you would have learned in the public speaking, you've clearly listed on your resume, open soft. Hit him in the middle, close soft.
That's it. And repeat over and over. If you want people to remember stuff, just repeat as often as you can and never give them more than three things to remember. that's my public speaking tip for the day. If you give people more than three things to remember, you know, they might get one or two. That's about it. That's about as good as you can hope for. So Jay, we should be, let's hit on though, where we were last week. We had a great question that came up from last week, and I wanted to hear the answer to that, and then see what we can be thinking about for next week too.
Well, the question was, what famous 1970s horror film shared casting sessions with the original Star Wars and almost resulted in several key roles being cast very differently? And George Lucas, as he was putting together this on a shoestring budget, the original Star Wars, to save money, shared casting sessions with his good friend Brian De Palma for the casting of Stephen King's Carrie.
Mm.
And most famously out of this is both of them fought over Carrie Fisher for their lead. And George Lucas won just barely. We very nearly had Carrie Fisher as Carrie in the movie Carrie, and Sissy Spacek as Princess Leia.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that would have been quite different. There was also another near miss that Mark Hamill and William Catt, most of us know William Catt as the lead in The Greatest American Hero, almost flipped roles, where William Catt was Luke Skywalker and Mark Hamill was the high school bully in Carrie. That nearly happened.
I'm not seeing that making a real change in the. This is not like an alternate universe sort of. I think that one probably would have played out okay.
Yeah, well, part of this is no offense to Mark Hamill, but he's not a tall dude, and I can't see him bullying anybody.
Yeah, no, especially back then, you know, he had a pretty soft, pretty boy face, you know, would have been a bit more of a stretch. Boy, Sissy Spacek as Princess Leia, I'm having a tough time wrapping my head around that one. That's interesting. Now, I was just commenting. I was just tweeting too. Is that of course Star Wars Episode 7 is coming out, and it occurred to me, you know, our good friend Rob Rigel, who's after us, immediately he was saying, hey, we should they should come out with a you know, a BuzzFeed take this quiz, and I'll tell you what Star Wars Episode 7 character you are. But it occurred to me, it's like, well, there's no point, because at least if you're a woman, there's really only one answer. So there's no need to create a whole survey for you on that one. It's just male or female. Okay, you're gonna be Princess Leia Solo then.
or possibly her mother.
Yeah, well, yes, yeah.
Those are your options. Like, I could name you five or six other women from the whole six movie set. I can name you a whole bunch more from the expanded universe that just got wiped out. But there's like 15 of us who even know what their names are. Yeah, the lead person given the briefing in Return of the Jedi, that was Mon Mothma. Who? Exactly.
That's it. That's it. Oh man. Oh man. Oh, that's awesome though. I had no idea. I knew there's always a lot of discussion about, you know, who didn't make the cut or who wasn't selected and stuff like that. But I had no idea that they were on the same time and the same set as Carrie. I was going after you asked the question last week. I was going through my head trying to think what horror movies were out at that time, and I couldn't really think. I was trying to figure out the timing of it. So what should we be thinking about for next week?
Well, some recent information came to light, so this is a little bit timeless, just sort of general geek trivia, nothing, you know, sort of that timely. But we recently tracked down the programmer who introduced the browser tab to web browsers back in the late 90s.
Hmm.
And if you Google him, you'll find his name. It's not that hard. But most people assume that he worked on Opera, because that's the first browser anyone remembers natively coming with tabs. And that's true. It is the first browser to ship with tabs built in. But several browsers could be modified to use browser tabs well before Opera.
Hmm.
So the question is, what was the first browser to support browser tabs, and how did it do it?
Huh. Oh man, that's
great
a great question. Yeah.
That's the one of the geekiest questions ever.
every
that's why I'm here.
Every
useless for getting checks, but it's entertaining for the people like us.
That's right. Oh man, I know that all too well. Every time a question like that comes up too, I love it, because it always puts me mentally back to the mid to late 80s, early 90s, my first apartment, and sitting up till 3-4 in the morning goofing around on BBS and then on Netscape and these things and playing with the different the seed of what became the internet and thinking back on that, it just puts me in a good space mentally. Well Jay, I don't know if you want to stick around. You could stick around if you want to for the interview, or I can let you go, but I gotta bring David Chen in now. It's up to you. You tell me, and I'll do it either way.
I got to step aside because I've got to go to a conglomeration convention meeting.
Ooh, hey, don't forget to ask and see if they have any pictures that we can share on online as well.
Absolutely. That's on my list of things to cover, along with online ticket sales and better snacks.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to complain about the snacks. I didn't partake that much myself, so I didn't think they were terrible. But at least there were some healthy options, I have to say. So I was pleased with that. There were veggies and things like this. So I'm gonna hold my tongue on the snack front. Well, Jay, I'm gonna let you go then. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll definitely be talking to you very, very soon.
All right, take care, fellas.
Take care.
Bye. Take care, Jay.
That was
the best,
Jay Garman. All right, great to hear from him as always. All right, so let's do this here. We're gonna try to make this happen here. See if I can do it. It's always an adventure. That's why we call it the Tech Talk Show and not just the Everything Works Always Show, because we've got to talk about the tech as we're trying to figure out all this. Okay, let's see. I think I've got this. This is gonna actually work here. We'll find out. I'm talking as I'm typing. So we'll see if we can make this happen. Now this is David Chen. Like I said, it's interesting. Now he's out in California, but he is a native Chicagoan. In fact, he went to the University of Chicago, so we have that in common. Oh, I think he's coming in here. Hopefully, I don't hear the ring. Whenever I don't hear the ring.
Hello?
Ah, good morning, Mr. Chen. Thank you for joining us. Yes, can you hear us? Hello?
Hi.
Ah, there he is. Yes. you're with us on the Tech Talk show. No, he cannot hear us. Okay. I apologize. You cannot hear me. I am going to hang up, and we're going to try calling you right back. Sorry about
that.
Okay, I just hung up on him. I'm going to try calling him back again. I don't know why that didn't work. We just had Jay Garman on the same line. Dave, you can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Wanted to make sure.
Sound good. In fact, you know what? Right today, this is the best I've been able to hear you ever, I think, or recently.
Really? Sure. Really? Ah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, you're being pretty clear, too. We get a little bit of garbly every once in a while, but it's not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Good morning, David. Hello? Can you hear us now?
Hey, good morning.
There we go. thank you, Mr. Chen. Thank you for joining us. You are on the Tech Talk show on WRLR 98.3 FM. Thanks for joining us. I've been doing a little bit of front work trying to prep people for who you are, what you're about, and what Strikingly is, but why don't you tell us from your perspective who you are, what Strikingly is, and maybe we can talk a little bit about how it got started, too.
For sure. So first of all, thanks a lot for inviting me over. It's great to be sharing the story here. So Strikingly, basically, it's a website builder that allows anybody to set up a website in literally minutes. And Mike, as you can testify, you probably get your first version of your website in the first few seconds after using Strikingly. So that's really the kind of things we want to deliver to our users, that anybody can create a beautiful web presence without worrying anything about, design, coding. And that was a problem that I had. So we went along and fixed that problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it sounds like you're exaggerating, but you're not. If you've got a LinkedIn profile, and this is what I did, if you've got a LinkedIn profile, you go over to strikingly.com and you just it's like a couple of button clicks, and it pulls everything in, creates a beautiful online resume for you, and then you can go in and manipulate and modify and update and change it and so on. I know that Strikingly has other capabilities too for creating your own websites. Are most people doing that LinkedIn connection piece, or are many people doing the actual full website creation that you make available?
Yeah, that's actually, as I said, Strikingly, it's a website builder, right? So we have people building websites for all sorts of things. There's a traditional ones that's people building websites for businesses, for side projects, for organizations, for bands, for their own portfolio. We have those type of things. But we also have, people using LinkedIn one-click website to build up their personal resume, to apply for jobs, or basically just want to have a link in their email, in their email signature. So, we have all sorts of things. The reason why we developed the LinkedIn one-click website was that we really think that, it shouldn't, we want to help people get started without worrying that, I have to have to put too much time into this. Want to show it to people it's not all that hard. And you can get started with something. Just with a little bit of basically just buy a coffee, sit down for the next 5 minutes, you have a beautiful website that can be a light. So that's the philosophy behind it. It's really to deliver one website for anything you want to do to anybody's hand.
Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely true. It is highly customizable, but it doesn't, when you create it, one of the fears that I had looking at it was, you'd create it and it would look so cookie cutter and copy of so many of the other websites, because I've gone to pages where they have website templates, and it just, again, it always just looks so cookie cutter to me. But somehow you guys have you've avoided that, and you've included some really, a set of images that are available that are nice. I mean, they're attractive. They draw you into the page and all that. How did you, was this something you guys came up with? Did you have someone who was graphic design oriented, or did it just sort of grow organically out of just the things that you liked?
Yeah, I mean, thanks a lot, first of all. I'm very glad that you find it, it's explorable. So it's always a tough problem, right? Like, you created something simple, and the result of it sometimes is that you don't have enough customization. So the problem that we always run into is, like, how do we make it simple enough, but at the same time, you can make it unique enough for yourself? So there are a lot of things that we put there. Some of the things that you mentioned, such as, like, we give you unique image sets, you know, icon set, and we give you styles that you can change between, and so that you can have your own style. We'll give you customization on the font level, stuff like that can make your site really stand out to be your personal branding. And I think, like, in current web, you know, images, multimedia matters a lot in terms of, like, you know, how do you make your site different from others. And we really make our website kind of optimized for showcasing, you know, beautiful media content that you have or things that we provide for you to use. So those are the things that we kind of we consciously have that decision in mind, that, like, how can we make the website easy enough to use, but at the same time, it stands out and, you know, becomes something unique. And you can call that as my personal branding or my business branding. That's, you know, just me. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, that's actually a problem that we actively try to solve.
Yeah. Now, and it takes a little bit in a slightly different direction to, you know, kind of focusing on that personal branding piece and all that. You know, one of the questions that I've heard and certainly has occurred to me as well is, you know, if you're looking for a job and so you've got your LinkedIn profile and you go and you create this, what's the point of it? You know, the everywhere you go to apply for a job, they don't want that. They want to see paper. They want you to email like a PDF resume. How do you incorporate something like this into a job search, especially, you know, for everyone that's looking for work right now, and there's a huge number of people? Why would it be important to have something like this?
Well, I mean, there are multiple reasons. I can tell you a story of, like, one success story from a striking user who did that. So he was really looking for, you know, a change. He was actually also from UChicago, and he was looking to change his job to move more into kind of like the marketing and sales, you know, role. So what he did was that he was really after this one company that he was very interested in. So he used the website, you know, grabbed some of the information that he had on LinkedIn and Facebook, and put all of those information, used the website format to whip out basically like a cover letter / resume thing specifically for that particular company. So it goes like, you know, hey, X company, I really want to work for you. Here are three reasons why you should hire me. You know, here are three things I want to do for your company. Mm-hmm. And I'm so much fun, you know, stuff. It just makes it so personal. At the same time, it stands out from all of the other resumes that people have collected. I believe, like he actually put a tracker on his website and the email, seeing how many people actually visit the site and open up the email. It turned out that almost every single one in the team opened up the website and checked it out. And the next day, he got an interview, and he went for the interview and got the job eventually. Huh. So, I mean, right now, not that many people are using website, you're right, and not that many people expect that. But that might be actually the weapon, right? Like, you can use that to stand out. But very soon, I mean, just imagine right now, where do you browse a resume? Right now, we're recruiting a lot of people for our company at this moment as well. When we kind of review our users, our applicants' resume or their history, I usually open my phone and kind of like, you know, try to see who they are. If it's a PDF, I have to download it. I've got to zoom in, zoom out. It's just like not the best experience when we do so. Sometimes I receive email from our applicant that, you know, has a link to their portfolio or some of their personal website, you know, some of their like personal story. I click open up in my browser. I browse through it, I can close it. It just has such a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, it shows that this person is modern, is tech savvy, he knows what's going on, he knows where the internet is heading. And those are all good quality that, you know, it portrays itself. Kind of like it speaks out itself when you have a website that's your personal branding, right? So Yeah, there's definitely benefit one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would attest to that for myself personally. I mean, one of the issues that I have, and I shared with you, you know, I'm currently doing some consulting, but I'm looking for something more permanent. So it was really important to me to have something like this, not only because of that desire to be able to sort of market myself, but I also feel that my specific background requires a bit of focus for people to understand in a way that a typical resume would not provide, you know, and that I have, it looks very disparate when you glance at it, but the reality is I'm very focused on a specific set of skills and experiences that I want to leverage into a new position. And strikingly makes it easy to really personalize the information and to explain things and show things in a way that a LinkedIn profile does not, or that a you know, your standard traditional resume does not. So I would agree with everything that you're saying there. And in fact, I had sent you or told you my link. Had you take a look? I know you said hey, it looks pretty good. But I know there's stuff I'm missing. What are some things that go beyond even just presenting yourself? I know you've got a shop that's open that you can add functionality and things to. Are there things that you can incorporate or add into either the online resume type thing or into the website creation piece that are starting to help you stand apart and that really make things a little more interactive?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, your website looks not bad, and it's really pretty good already. I mean, if I have to give like any kind of feedback or thoughts into it.
Please, be brutal. Be brutal.
Yeah, I think, one thing that we usually tell our users is that try to cut down the amount of text as much as you can. Because right now, just imagine where will people actually read your website. We have this main piece, main core competence of like StrikeMe, which is this mobile optimized, right? So you don't have to think about it. It's already mobile optimized and it's desktop optimized. So anybody can view it anywhere. But with that said, a smaller screen has its inherent constraint. And the inherent constraint is that if you put too many text there, sometimes just like it takes a lot more effort into like digging into it. So we usually recommend our users to cut down as much text as possible and kind of get the core message across as soon as possible, and then moving to more of like visual content, things that like that will catch their eyeball, make them remember you, also like if you can have like something that's whatever you want the users to do as like one specific action, that's very highlighted, that would be good. Like if you have like if you want the user to contact you, or if you want the user to kind of follow you on Twitter or go to your blog or whatever, you have that one action in mind, and you just like really highlight that and kind of direct user to that particular action throughout the page. That's also good. I mean, for some of like the people, I went through your information. It's pretty much all there. I think, if you have any video page like this type of interviews that you can actually integrate into the website, say like a YouTube video or maybe some clips that you can upload to SoundCloud that you can integrate, we allow people to do so already. So if you can, in the app store that we provide. So if you use the app store, use some of these apps, integrate some of those like multimedia contents to your website, that might be good. But it's really like not completely necessary. I'm just saying, like, I'm really like trying to say anything I can think of that's adding on top of like a website that already looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. So those are some of my feedback.
Oh, fantastic. No, I appreciate it. I hope I'm not boring other people listening. They should be taking this, as kind of a general commentary too. I think, one thing that we didn't hit really hard on is the fact that the StrikeMe websites, as you mentioned, are already optimized for mobile access as well. So whether you're pulling it up on a tablet or your phone, that information is going to be presented very, very cleanly and very nicely. And in fact, you can preview it too. When you're creating the sites, there's a little button on the side specifically to show you as you're editing what it's going to look like if it comes up on an iPad or an Android tablet, what it's going to look like if it comes up on your iPhone or other mobile phone device. And yeah, makes it really easy, and you can be very confident sharing the information, sharing the link with people, that however they're going to bring it up, it's going to look the same pretty much.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the core pieces that we have in mind, because when you think about it, statistics already shows the kind of trajectory of mobile traffic. Mobile traffic is going to surpass desktop traffic in 2015 mm-hmm. to be the latest. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I mean, you will be kind of, if you don't think about mobile, you'll be missing out half of the eyeballs that's going to land on your website. So so basically, in that sense, how do you optimize for mobile is not only like icing on a cake. It's kind of like necessary. You have to think about it from day one. And that's what we did. I mean, when we started working on Strikely, we realized that there's a lot of very good advantage on mobile. Mobile is like kind of, it redefines the web in itself. So it redefines website. And at the same time, redefines the user experience. So how do we actually create the best website for it? And we gave a lot of thinking into this. And the type of way that we approach it is that we make it mobile optimized first and translate that great experience into the web. It simplifies everything. At the same time, you know, it's cross-platform optimized. So that's kind of like how we did it. And our user, we just don't want them to worry about that at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly. Which seems to be kind of the point of the site in general. You don't have to worry about the coding. You don't have to worry about those. You just put in the things that are going to work for you and that make this work. Now, you guys have been getting a lot of good press, but also too, you've got some influx of money, I know, from some of the venture capitalist situations that are going on. Where do you see Strikingly going in the next, even just the next 12 months? What do you think is going to happen, or is there something big on the horizon that that you're preparing for?
Yeah, I mean, I probably can't give you too much specifics, but I can definitely like share some of the directions that we're heading. I mean, we always want to deliver a product that a consumer can use. So we want to be something that you can, it's not so much of a burden. It's fun to use. It's not just like, oh, serious, I'm building a website. It's like, oh, I'm building a website right now. I'm enjoying the time, having fun. We want to deliver that experience to users. So there's a lot of work to be done on how to simplify this whole process and make it fun, make it like engaging, make people actually use it with like even the fun use case rather than just right now all of the serious case. We already have seen people using it for Valentine's Day, love letter, Mother's Day is coming up, right? Like Mother's Day kind of thank you note. Stuff like that. So we have a lot of people who are using it for those purposes, which is fun and like, you know, something that's one-off. And we have a lot of people using it for events. A lot of people using, like, there's one website using, was used for like praying for Boston victims from the Boston bombing.
Yeah.
So like a lot of those things, we love to see more of those. So how do we do that? How do we deliver even simpler experience, something that can make the process even more enjoyable? That's always a problem that we want to solve. And like every single step we take forward is just harder as we go, right, incrementally. So that's one direction. The second direction that we have, and we always have in mind, is that, as I mentioned earlier, how do we make sure that the simplifying process doesn't really hurt the customization, like the fact that you can actually optimize it for your personal use, you can optimize it for your personal branding, you can really customize it enough so that you can call your own and be unique. So how do we make the website powerful and customizable enough so that people can actually explore the different functionality and connect to the different web apps they love the most? Mm-hmm. All of those are actually something that we focus on as well. So there are a lot of very interesting pieces that we're putting together. I believe like next 12 months will actually be very exciting for us and for our users, since they will see a lot of like these things manifest itself in real action in terms of like, you know, features, engagement, and kind of mechanism for you to create websites. So there are a lot of things coming up in the next 12 months.
Very cool. Very cool. One thing that I always like to ask, especially, with companies such as Strikingly, where the access and the usage, and really you can do like so much that you would want to do without having to pull your credit card out of your back pocket. How are you guys monetizing? What are the directions that you're taking to make sure that Strikingly stays around and it exists for another 12 months and then beyond?
Thank you. Thank you for helping us worry about that. I mean, that's something that I definitely think about. We're actually doing fine. We're profitable so far. So our users have been very supportive. They have been they care about us. A lot of users pay for the service because they love it so much. They want to use the premium version of it to make their website better and also show that they're being supportive. So the model that we use is a standard kind of a freemium model. We want to make it easy for anybody to get started. As you said, it's a bad experience that you have to pay before you actually know what you're getting, right? So we want people to use it, try out, test everything, until a point that you feel like, okay, this is enough. This is something I want to use for a long time. This is something I want to really, put my effort into it and just use my money to really make my site more functional and, connect my custom domain. Then you can choose one of the premium plans that we offer to our users. But if you want to just do some of the things I mentioned before, love letter, thank you note, even personal branding, some events, some temporary events, you can completely use it for free and want to offer the tool, as much as free tool as possible to our users, and only have, the user who actually can make some benefit out of it, pay to sustain our business. So that's always our philosophy.
Yeah, and it's funny. It never even occurred to me the usage that you're talking about. I think it is absolutely right. It would be so cool for people to be able to kind of go in and create these event-related or one-off sort of really beautiful and inspired websites if it's easy enough, and you're getting there where it is, and maybe this is something people can do, today. You could literally do this today and have something prepared for your mother tomorrow. Go in, if you've got some videos, you've got some pictures, I'm willing to bet you'd be able to go in and for no money, 15 minutes, you'd have something beautiful you can send to your mom. And instead of sending her a card, you get her hooked in and looking at something that you've created. And I remember, and I've done web design myself in the past, and a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, creating one websites like that for my kids for Christmas and things so that they would have access to certain things I wanted to show them. And it's depending on what you do with it, it can be tough or not, but there's a level of ability that is a barrier for a lot of people, a level of technical understanding that is a barrier, and Strikingly kind of takes that away from you. That barrier is gone.
Totally. We have seen people surprise their mom this way. I made a website for my mom. So and almost everyone in the team did. And our moms were beyond surprised. You build a website for her. We're like, whoa. So yeah, definitely try out. Let us know how it goes. We'd love to see more of those.
Very, very cool. David, I apologize. I've got to bring us to a close here. The other David, who's also on the line, our good friend, co-host David Sinaki, I haven't let him speak at all. Dave Sinaki, did you have any questions for David Chen, or did you want to brutalize me in my online attempt?
I just wanted to thank David for any help he's offering you.
I need it. I need it badly. Yes, exactly. No, and this is a good thing. Like I said, especially for people that are maybe re-entering the workforce after having been out for a while or are rebranding themselves, this is a great and easy way to get in and create a marketing strategy for yourself, a personal branding strategy for yourself that you can start throwing out to people and have something just a little bit different, sets you apart, makes a difference for people. And then, of course, there's all the other things we talked about with the website. David Chen, where should people, I know we've got strikingly.com, are there other websites or other places that you would send people to go to get involved and to find out more about what you guys are up to?
Yeah, definitely. Strikingly.com is how you can you know, check out StrikeMe. But the LinkedIn one-click website, as I mentioned, is strikeme.com/LinkedIn. And check it out. Both of them work fine. Even if you're on StrikeMe, you can also see the LinkedIn one. But if you want to try it out directly, /LinkedIn, that's how you do it.
Beautiful, beautiful. David Chen, thank you. It's been an honor and a privilege. I really appreciated your time. And boy, hopefully we'll be in contact again soon. I can't wait for the next big thing that you guys have around the corner.
For sure. Yep.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Have a great week.
Take care, Dave.
That was David Chen from Strikingly.com, also from Chicago area. So he's out on the West Coast now, but hometown boy and really cool stuff. Again, for people that want more information, those are the places to go. He just mentioned them, Strikingly.com. And I'll have those links as well, of course, on our websites and so on. And we are right at the end of the time. In fact, beyond end of the time, we've got Rob Rigel and Rob Schott First on deck. He's geeked out. He's ready to go. He's got science. Science queued up and ready to go. I think he's going to be talking some space this week if I don't miss my mark. There was a number of very cool science and space stories that came out. He's shaking his head, maybe not. So we'll see. You got to tune in, though. You got to stay tuned in. Dave, I'm going to let you go so that I can get Rob out here, too. Thanks for joining us again, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Thanks for having me, and everybody have a great week. Happy Mother's Day.
And happy Mother's Day, too. Take care. All right, thanks, Dave. Take care. Bye. That was Dave Sparky Saganaki and Dave Chen from Strikingly. And I wasn't lying. This is the real deal. I got to get going. Rob's ready and fired up. Don't go away. Do stay tuned in and listen. If you like the Tech Talk show, you're going to like Rob Schott First even more. And we'll be back at you next week. I think I might even have another interview next week coming up with the Illinois Technology Association, the head of that group. And so we'll be hearing about employment in Illinois in technology. So it's going to be a great follow-up to our conversation today with Strikingly. I will bow out and let Rob take over. Have a great week, everyone. You've been listening to WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois.